News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning broadcast, Daybreak. I'm Patikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Former Union Minister Arun Shori on Thursday moved the Supreme Court to have the sedition law declared unconstitutional, arguing that it is heavily abused and cases are being filed against citizens for exercising their freedom of speech and expression. Significantly, the petition was filed the day a bench headed by Chief Justice N. Ramana expressed concern over the enormous misuse of the law and asked the centre why it was not repealing the provision used by the British to silence people like Mahatma Gandhi to suppress the freedom movement. The bench agreed to examine the pleas filed by the Editors Guild of India and a former Major General challenging the constitutionality of the law and said its main concern was the misuse of law. Section 124A for sedition under the IPC is a non-bailable provision. It makes any speech or expression that brings or attempts to bring into hatred or contempt or excites or attempts to excite disaffection towards the government established by law in India a criminal offence punishable with a maximum punishment of life imprisonment. According to Shori's petition, the definition of sedition under Section 124A was vague and incapable of accurate appreciation by the common citizen and the law enforcement agencies or police. The petition filed by Advocate Prashant Bhushan on Shori's behalf and the NGO Common Cause claims that sedition is a colonial law used expressly to suppress dissent by the British in India. Sedition has come to be heavily abused, with cases being filed against citizens for exercising their freedom of speech and expression on the basis of the literal definition that is available to law enforcement authorities on the statute books, it said. The petition said the interpretation accorded to Section 124A by the Supreme Court in the Kedarnath Singh v. State of Bihar matter in 1962 was not understood or appreciated by the police, which continues to register cases against citizens who are exercising their right to freedom of speech and expression. By the time the courts step in to apply the interpretation of Kedarnath to the facts of the cases, the citizens have already been deprived of their liberty, the petition said. It added that after India became a democracy, the law was challenged as being violative of the fundamental right to freedom of speech and expression guaranteed by Article 19(1)(a) of the Constitution of India in the Kedarnath matter. Even though the provision was upheld by the Supreme Court in 1962, the position of the law has changed and the matter requires reconsideration, it said. In such circumstances, it is submitted that this court needs to revisit the judgment of Kedarnath Singh v. State of Bihar and strike down Section 124A of Indian Penal Code as being violative of Articles 14, 19(1)(a) and 21 of the Constitution of India, the petition said. It sought a direction declaring Section 124A of the Indian Penal Code as unconstitutional. Alternatively, direct that strict action as per law be taken against concerned public servants and complainant or informants in cases where the accused is discharged in a case of sedition and lay down guidelines for the same, it said. Congress leader Harish Rawat's announcement of party colleague Navjot Singh Sidhu's elevation to the post of state chief on Thursday set off a flurry of political activity in Punjab's capital city, Chandigarh. However, Rawat soon backtracked on his statement, saying a formula was being worked out and no final decision has been taken. As reports of a peace formula being worked out emanated from Delhi, with indications that Navjot Singh Sidhu could be made the Punjab Pradesh Congress Committee chief, hundreds of kilometers away in Chandigarh, political intrigue was on full display. Moments after, party in charge for Punjab, Harish Rawat, announced on some TV channels that Sidhu's appointment has been finalized. The Amrinder Singh camp was taken by surprise with what seemed to be an unscheduled announcement. And even as those close to the chief minister started making calls to Delhi, Rawat issued a clarification claiming he had been misconstrued. However, the announcement had already set off a political buzz in different camps of the Punjab Congress. What further intrigued the people was Sidhu's appearance at dissident minister Sukhjinder Singh Randhawa's house late evening. Within a short period of time, about half a dozen more leaders joined in. According to sources in the party, Pargat Singh, Tript Bajwa, Charanjit Singh Channi were among those present, with media contingent waiting outside. The leaders tried to avoid making any comment on the meeting. Around the same time, another set of meetings were taking place, this time at the residence of Chief Minister Amrinder Singh. Sources said that some loyal ministers, including Rana Gurmeet Singh Sodhi, met the CM. Though the agenda of the meeting was unknown, the political situation arising out of the reports of Sidhu's elevation as PCC chief was discussed, sources said. Interestingly, media advisor to the CM, Raveen Thakral, tweeted late in the evening denying reports that the chief minister had offered his resignation. Calling the reports humbug, Thakral tweeted that the party will go into the 2022 elections led by Amrinder Singh. Ironically, no national media had reported anything about the chief minister's resignation, and a denial from the CM's office surprised many. Five drones were spotted on Thursday night in Jammu and Kashmir near vital army installations. Sources said that one drone was spotted in Samba district at around 8:15 p.m., following which multiple rounds were fired at it. Another drone was seen at around 8:05 p.m. at Pansar in Kathua district. Drones were also suspected to have been spotted at three other locations in Jammu: Amphala area, Kharian in Miran Sahib, and Satwari, sources told News 18. This comes days after a drone blast at Jammu Air Force Station, which injured two Indian Air Force personnel. Investigating officers have said the attackers used a cocktail of RDX and nitrate in the IEDs, which were used to carry out the blast, using the two drones in a first-of-its-kind terror attack. The National Investigation Agency is currently investigating the case. It has been suspected that the drones came from across the border. Following the Jammu Air Base attack, the centre had given the go-ahead to procure anti-drone technology. Border Security Force and Central Industrial Security Force have been tasked with procuring the anti-drone systems for the almost 3,500-kilometre-long international border and the civilian airports. On Thursday, the Ministry of Civil Aviation issued draft rules to ensure ease of using drones in India on the basis of trust, self-certification and non-intrusive monitoring. The Drone Rules 2021, once notified, will supersede the UAS Rules 2021, which came into force on March 12 this year. More than 60 people have died and dozens were missing on Thursday as severe flooding in Germany and Belgium turned streams and streets into raging torrents that swept away cars and caused houses to collapse. Recent storms across parts of Western Europe made rivers and reservoirs burst their banks, triggering flash floods overnight after the saturated soil couldn't absorb any more water. "I grieve for those who have lost their lives in this disaster," German Chancellor Angela Merkel said during a visit to Washington, expressing shock at the scope of the flooding. "We still don't know the number, but it will be many," she said. She pledged that everything would be done to find those still missing, adding, "Heavy rain and flooding doesn't capture what happened." Authorities in North Rhine-Westphalia state said at least 30 people had died, while 28 deaths were reported in Rhineland-Palatinate state to the south. Belgian media reported 8 deaths in that country. Among the worst-hit German villages was Schuld, where several homes collapsed and dozens of people remained unaccounted for. Rescue operations were hampered by blocked roads and phone and internet outages across the Eifel, a volcanic region of rolling hills and small valleys. Some villages were reduced to rubble as old brick and timber houses couldn't withstand the sudden rush of water, often carrying trees and other debris as it gushed through narrow streets. Karl-Heinz Grimm, who had come to help his parents in Schuld, said he had never seen the small Aar River surge in such a deadly torrent. "This night, it was like madness," he said. Dozens of people had to be rescued from the roofs of their houses with inflatable boats and helicopters. Hundreds of soldiers were deployed to assist in the rescue efforts. "There are people dead, there are people missing, there are many who are still in danger," the governor of Rhineland-Palatinate state, Melu Dreyer, told the regional parliament. "We have never seen such a disaster. It is really devastating." The 52nd Civil Engineer Squadron and several volunteers from the U.S. Air Base at Spangdalem filled and distributed hundreds of sandbags to help protect homes and businesses in the area, the U.S. European Command said. In Belgium, the Vestre River spilled over its banks and sent water churning through the streets of Pepinster near Liege, where a rescue operation by firefighters went wrong when a small boat capsized and three elderly people disappeared. Unfortunately, they were quickly engulfed, said Mayor Philippe Godin. I fear they are dead. In Verviers, the prosecutor's office said several bodies had been found but could not confirm local media reports that four people were killed there. Major highways were inundated in southern and eastern parts of the country, and the railway said all trains were halted. In Liege, a city of 200,000, the Meuse River overflowed its banks on Thursday, and the mayor asked people living nearby to move to higher ground. EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen pledged to help, and Pope Francis sent condolences, with his office saying the pontiff was praying for those injured and missing, as well as those who have lost their livelihoods. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.